Welcome back to another edition of Big City Catholics, our podcast here with Bishop Robert Brennan, the Bishop of the Diocese of Brooklyn, myself, Father Christopher Henyu. Today, we're joined with a special guest, Monsignor John Strinkowski, priest of the Diocese of Brooklyn, a very well-respected priest at that, and former rector of St. James Cathedral Basilica, which is the topic, really, of our conversation today. But before we begin, we should start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of course, I chose the prayer of our Blessed Mother today because of one of the most beautiful stained glass windows at St. James. We're going to get to it eventually, is that image of our Blessed Mother, the Immaculate Conception. So she is our own diocese.
That is a very powerful image, and it's right in my sight lines.
Just as you sit in the chair.
Yes. Yeah. We recently celebrated the Feast of St. James, who really is for us the patron of the diocesan cathedral, the Cathedral Basilica, a place of great importance to so many of our priests, to so many of our people for now 200 years. But we celebrate its foundations first as a parish, That has great significance. And joining us for that discussion is Monsignor John Strinkowski, as you mentioned, was rector of St. James Cathedral. But my experience, my friendship, you might say, with Monsignor Strinkowski goes back more than 30 years to my days as a seminarian. Monsignor Strinkowski was the rector of the Seminary of the Immaculate Conception, built by the Diocese of Brooklyn, now in the Diocese of Rockville Center, but for many generations also a place where many of our priests were formed and prepared to serve God's people as priests. So when I first went there, Monsignor Strinkowski was my teacher. So everything I know about the church and about the Eucharist, about the sacraments, it all comes from Monsignor Strinkowski. Welcome, Monsignor Strinkowski.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. It's good to be with you this morning.
Boy, you've been a rector for how many different times have you been rector? Rector of seminaries, rectors of cathedrals?
Only twice. So Huntington, the seminary, 10 years, and then St. James Cathedral, 10 years also.
So wonderful.
Otherwise, I had other titles.
you served the church nationally, and you served the church universally through your service at the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops after your time in Huntington. But then before that, you were serving the Holy Father on the Congregation of Bishops, right?
That's right. For many years I did that. Yeah. I'm glad I wasn't there when your file came through.
you might have had some comments. Oh, I know him. I remember.
Wonderful. If I may, you know, Monsignor, just in your 10 years there at the parish, what's one of the highlights of your time there? What would be one of the moments that you look back and you say, wow, that was one of my highlights at St. James?
Well, more than any specific moment, it would have been the people. The loyalty of the parishioners was just astounding. There were parishioners there that had been there for 40 years, perhaps. In fact, I was wondering if I would meet someone who would say to me, "Oh, I remember you as a seminarian."
Wow.
There was one gentleman, an elderly man, who loved to show the church to visitors. Interesting enough, his first name was Hugo. But he loved to show off the church, and he was so enthusiastic about it. So anytime he saw a new face, he would go approach them and start telling them, welcoming them, and this is done daily before the daily mass. He was just so enthused about the church and its beauty and its history and its meaning. And so it was people like that who really touched me very deeply, the fidelity to the parish, to the community, and to this historic place. To me, that was very edifying.
One of my most memorable moments there at St. James was with Bishop Daly. He loved to quote the scripture that's on the baldacchino. He'd often say, you know, with that Boston accent, "Infinum delexi Deus." He loved them to the end, and it's just some very warm moments, warm memories that I mm-hmm. share, that I have there at St. James mm-hmm. as a seminarian going and serving my first Mass and masses there. And,
I think it's great, the 200th anniversary of the parish. I mean, I think
yes.
it's a very important moment, I think, in the history of the diocese. 200 years of this parish, the first parish on all of Long Island. I mean, that's awesome. And I mean, inevitably, there would have been Catholic parishes established, but the fact is that St. James was the first. And that's what we ought to celebrate. We're a church that celebrates, you might call them incarnational moments, you know, where the church takes concrete shape in a particular place, a particular time. And for us on all of Long Island, that's the parish of St. James in the year 1822. And the wonderful thing about it is that it was an initiative by immigrants, Irish immigrants, who were going by ferry over to Lower Manhattan to go to Mass there. And of course, in the wintertime, that would not have been a very pleasant experience. And so on January 1st of 1822, they wrote to the Bishop of New York and asked for a priest. And the bishop replied positively, complied with that request. So you have this group of Irish immigrants who take the initiative and lay people, you know, and what did they want? They wanted Mass and they wanted education for their children. That was the purpose of their writing. They wanted it there in Brooklyn, in what then was the Village of Brooklyn, if you can imagine, the Village of Brooklyn at that time. And so they took this initiative. And so that was the beginning of the parish. And then from there, the church continues to grow right across all of Long Island. And it's an amazing phenomenon, 200 years of a steady existence there. What amazes me that for 200 years, the Eucharist has been celebrated in that parish. Not necessarily in that building, but the current building. The current building goes back only to the beginning of the 20th century because the original building burnt down. And then was replaced. But in the parish itself has honored and celebrated and remembered the Eucharist for 200 years. What an amazing thing when you think about that. We have this continuity that's I think, something to be very grateful for and that we should be celebrating today.
And, you know, that's an interesting point, the continuity, because you mentioned before the Village of Brooklyn and our experience being so different, but over these 200 years, this part of Brooklyn, as all of Long Island, has seen enormous changes and changes to the changes. And something that has been constant, something that is consistent, has been the celebration of the Eucharist and the people of God gathering around for the Eucharist.
And the adaptability of the people of the parish, you know, as circumstances changed, you know, they adapted. They built a school, you know, they created all various modalities and organizations. And this is with the help, obviously, of various religious orders who served in that parish at different times. But there were so many programs, so many organizations, so much adaptability. And even in terms then of demographics began to change and Hispanics moved into the neighborhood. Well, the priests at that time in the 50s and 60s learned Spanish so that they could serve the Spanish people. So constant change and constant adaptability to what was happening around them.
The you know, Monsignor, you were I have a copy of your article that is going to be published in the Tablet regarding the 200th anniversary of a unique parish of St. James, and you mentioned in the very beginning of it that you were there in the summers of 1959 and 1960 to do like a census of the Catholics in the neighborhood. What was that experience like for you?
Well, there were several seminarians, several of us doing this. So it was knocking on doors and basically asking, you know, are you Catholic? We're here to represent, let's tell you about St. James Parish. We're going into the projects, you know, going from floor to floor and knocking on doors. Of course, we met some people who already were parishioners. Then we also met people who were going over to St. Anne's, which was a nearby parish, which no longer exists. And then we met a lot of non-Catholics, obviously, and we gave them the word about St. James. So we were doing this in the evenings, hot summer evenings sometimes. It was a good experience, just, you know, to reach out and to let people know about the parish. And then obviously to make a record for the priests in terms of following up so that the priest then could follow up. Because we were only there for the summer. We were going back to the seminary. Priests then would be able to follow up and you know, a more in-depth contact with the people.
I think the one thing that remains about our great city of New York and the Diocese of Brooklyn and Queens certainly is that it still continues to be ever-changing. You know, think about the neighborhood then down there in downtown Brooklyn, and think of it now just in 40 years, but even in the last 10, every 5 years or so, it seems
incredible.
To change.
Incredible. I wish I had a photo from when it went in 2005, a sort of the horizon, a photo, you know, just what it looked like. By the time I left in 2015, 10 years later, the horizon was totally different.
Mm.
All these new buildings that went up, it was just an incredible development. And we started to try to reach out, you know, to the newer population now, younger people coming in. There was a little bit of success with that, but I'm hoping that the anniversary, the word will get out and people will hear about St. James in the neighborhood, and maybe that will, you know, bring some of the Catholics, non-Catholics too, even to experience the church.
Sure, sure.
There are many people, as you say, there are residential buildings going up, but there are also a great deal of businesses nearby.
And, yes.
Mm-hmm. And the courts are not far from there. So, and hotels. So there are people who come in who are really just passing through Brooklyn, and this is a great opportunity for people to experience the church in a different way through the parish of St. James and the history and the beauty of the Basilica.
Yeah, that was a rewarding thing, you know, that people coming through, just visiting relatives or on vacation and coming for Mass on Sunday. And sometimes what I would do is I would go into the church before Mass and ask people, you know, where you're from, you know, we're from Boise, or we're from Chicago, you know, we're from San Francisco, you know. And so at the beginning of Mass then, and I almost sounded like I was a papal audience. So today we want to welcome visitors from Boise, Idaho, from San Francisco, from Chicago, and so on. You know? But it was unfortunately they were just passing through, but hoping maybe they'd be back next year. You know, so you just don't know. But they had a positive experience of church, of Sunday Eucharist. And again, as you mentioned before, Bishop, the beautiful stained glass window of our Immaculate Conception, but all the windows are so spectacular.
They really are.
On a sunny Sunday morning, the church just absolutely glows because of the different colors, and it gives a very, very beautiful hue to the church because it's all these different colors, and the windows are just so splendid. So hopefully people have a positive experience of church when they come there.
Please God. You know, we had a significant visitor, I think back in 1995. It's commemorated on the door of the cathedral when Pope St. John Paul II came at the threshold of the steps there to greet the people of Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. It was a rainy day.
Oh, was it?
So among our outstanding visitors, yes.
That's right. Now, you know, St. James himself is a patron for pilgrims. And, you think of the pilgrim shell and the image of St. James with the hat on and the walking stick and the shell. People make the pilgrimage to Santiago de Compostela. This, too, St. James Basilica Cathedral is a pilgrimage site. It's funny, not long ago, my father, who grew up in St. Bridget's Parish in Ridgewood, spoke about being a student in school. And one of the things they did was they made a visit, a pilgrimage, to the Cathedral of St. James.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I think that's something we're trying to recapture. Recently, a school from Long Island made a pilgrimage, one of the summer camp groups. They came over 2 weeks and visited as part of a visit to the downtown Brooklyn area. And that's in this anniversary year, that's something we'd like to encourage, especially parish groups and school groups. What a great opportunity, right?
It would be. And interestingly enough, people over the years, people came on their own, sometimes individuals or families, because they saw the Mass on television. They said, well, we want to go and see the church live, as it were. I would be surprised at times, you know, seeing new faces. Oh, how come you came here today? Mm. Well, because, you know, we wanted to visit this church. People do find the church to be very attractive. And yes, and I agree. I hope that it can become more and more of a place of pilgrimage. Because again, the beauty of the church, but also the history of the parish, so that to get to know the roots of Catholicism on Long Island. I think it's a fascinating story.
DeSales Media, Monsignor, helped put together a beautiful documentary on,
yes,
on St. James, of which you're also a part of. You know, speaking of just of the history, just a little bit, if we could just delve a little bit deeper into it, a name of someone who was very important in this whole historical process of the creation of St. James was Peter Turner. Can you talk just a little bit about?
Well, he, Irish immigrant. He was sort of the facilitator, I guess, the one who brought together the group and motivated them to do this letter. He had the vision, he had the faith, he had the energy to do this. So as a result, even now in the garden, St. James, there's a bust of Peter Turner in remembrance of what he did. I don't recall too much now about his own family or where he came from in Ireland. I don't remember that now precisely, but I think there is, in one of the history books of the diocese, there is more detail regarding where he came from and what his family was like.
He must have had really some, himself in the 70 or so that they said we're traveling across the water to Manhattan. And that note that he wrote, I mean, the same year he wrote the note, the church was established, 1822, you know, the same year he wrote that petition. And I liked part of that petition was, we want our children instructed in the principles of holy religion. We want more convenience in hearing the word of God ourselves. I like that. We want more convenience in hearing the word of God ourselves.
Which is right.
Yeah.
One of the signers of that letter was a man named McCloskey. Not related to the Cardinal McCloskey. This is another McCloskey. He had five children. Three of them became priests for the Diocese of New York at that time, obviously. One of the priests, though, eventually became the first rector of the North Merton College, who then also then became the Archbishop of Louisville, eventually. There are interesting connections like this, you know, where this humble parish was the source of other types of leadership in the church. So I think that that's something that needs to be remembered as well.
For sure, for sure.
And then you mentioned the ordination of priests. For generations, St. James was the site. Many of our priests hold St. James important because that was the place where they were ordained.
And what amazes me is that priests who ordained there may have seen St. James only that day.
Right.
They may not have seen it any other time. But that church remains very dear to them because it was the place of the ordination. It's an obvious tribute to their own love for the priesthood and their appreciation for the day of the ordination, which took place in St. James. So there is, among many priests who ordained there, there is this bond, this affection for St. James.
And now we're in the midst of our bicentennial year, and we have a number of celebrations. So I had the privilege on January 1st, that was the date they initially wrote the letter petitioning. I opened the year at the Basilica, and then through the course of the year, we've had some celebrations. We just celebrated the Feast of St. James there. But we're looking forward in August to a big celebration welcoming Cardinal Dolan, Bishop Barris, because this is a significant moment for the church on all of Long Island and a number of people. So we have this celebration coming up.
Yes, on August the 14th, Cardinal Dolan will lead us. And so it's so appropriate because, again, it was the Bishop of New York at that time, in 1822, Bishop Conley, who responded to the petition from Peter Turner and the others. So it's appropriate that today's Bishop of New York, Archbishop of New York, Cardinal Dolan, would be leading us in the celebration. Of course, Cardinal Dolan, his studies were in church history, specifically American church history. So I suspect he might give us some insights into some of that history for St. James. And so I think that's a very appropriate way to celebrate liturgically this anniversary.
Absolutely. It'll be a day of great joy. And so Cardinal Dolan is coming. I know Bishop Barris is coming from Rockville Center because, as you said before, this is a significant moment not only for us in Brooklyn and in Queens, but really all of Long Island, Brooklyn, Queens, Nassau, Suffolk, because it's the beginning of parish life.
Yes,
year.
And I think there's a great connection also between St. James and one of the parishes here in Rockville Center Diocese, and that is St. Hugh of Lincoln in Huntington Station. Around 1900 or so, when a prominent St. James parishioner died, his wife asked the diocese what could she do in his memory. and the diocese asked her to make a donation to establish a new parish. Her husband's name was Hugh, also an Irish immigrant. Bishop of Brooklyn then established the parish of St. Hugh of Lincoln in Huntington Station with a donation that he got from the widow.
And that's great because, you know, there aren't many churches dedicated to St. Hugh. And I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, this was sort of underway when I first arrived back in November. It was really just being able then to move forward. And I'm excited about it. And I'm glad to be able to be back in Brooklyn and Queens at this time when we're celebrating one of those historical moments, one of those foundational moments, the church being present in the life of the people in so many ways. So the Mass, Father Chris, is on Sunday, August 14th. Yep. I believe it's at 2 o'clock, correct?
That's right, yeah.
2 o'clock.
And it will be broadcast also live on NetTV.
It'll be broadcast on NetTV. And so we really wanted to see a lot of people joining us, but also their presence. So our priests have been invited. Unfortunately, it's a time when many people are traveling or away, so we will not have everybody there, but I'm hoping that we have a great showing, certainly of the priests, but of many people. We've asked each parish to send some representatives. So you may hear something about, I don't know, tickets or invitations. So those are out there. But we really want to encourage anybody who would like to come, to join us for that day. It should be a great celebration.
And people might be intimidated because it's downtown Brooklyn, but there's lots of subways there. But also there's a lot of parking garages, like within 4, 5, 6 minute walk of the church. So there's a lot of possibilities.
That's right. It may take a little bit of planning, but hopefully people will be able to get there. And then and then we'll continue the celebration even beyond then, because we want to see pilgrimages. And hopefully this is one of those moments that reinvigorates us as a parish, as a diocese, in our faith and in our presence here in the heart of Brooklyn.
Yes, especially, you know, with the emphasis now from Pope Francis on synodality, the fact that it was lay people who took the initiative, the bishop listened, heard, and responded, so that in a sense, this was an early instance of synodality, of people expressing their faith, expressing their desire for Eucharist, articulating that in a letter to the Bishop of New York. You know, as I say, an early example of synodality.
So it's a wonderful opportunity for us as a diocese, I think, to come together and really recreate that historical, celebrate the history, and also celebrate where it will continue and how St. James will continue to stand as a beacon of Christ's light to the people of downtown Brooklyn and to our Long Island as a whole.
Yes, that's my hope. That's my hope for this anniversary. Absolutely.
Thank you, Monsignor Strankowski, for joining us today for this particular discussion. But thank you for all the work that you've done commemorating this moment, really encouraging us to celebrate it so enthusiastically, allow it to be a moment of that renewal. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. It's a privilege. Thank you. Thank you.
We're going to close our session by offering the prayer from the Mass on the Feast of St. James. Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, who consecrated the first fruits of your apostles by the blood of St. James, grant, we pray, that your church may be strengthened by his confession of faith and constantly sustained by his protection through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. And may the Lord bless you today and always in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Thank you again, Monsignor Strankowski, for joining us today in another edition of our podcast, Big City Catholics, with Bishop Robert Brennan, the Bishop of Brooklyn, and myself, Father Chris Henyu. Just again, we hope that you'll join us on this beautiful celebration on Sunday, August 14th at 2 p.m. at St. James Cathedral in downtown Brooklyn. And may God bless you. Bye now.